It was a 1-1 draw in the monk's first sermon at the Abbey, and everyone listening to this is asking the same questions. When are these religious references going to get tiring? The answer is probably now, Tom, as we look at Monk's first game in charge against Northampton, which ended in a 1-1 draw. But the first question I've got for you, Tom, is from Ryan. Do you think if Monk went smarter rather than tracksuit, would have won?
Oh, big time. Big time. I'm only sort of half joking as well. That's a bad thing. No. Look, we saw the photos come out pre-match when he was like looking at the pitch and stuff. And I said, it's off to a bad start already, isn't it?
Bad sign. Bad sign. I had him down as a smart guy every day of the week.
There must be something about this football club that just ruins people.
Yeah, they turn into PE teachers the moment they enter the dugout.
Prerequisite of taking the job.
Yeah. I'm also joined by Jack Swindlehurst. Swindle, how was your first afternoon down the Clodagh under Gary Monk?
Yeah, pretty flat, pretty uninspiring, pretty attritional. We just love going to the football, don't we?
That's it. That's the sort of mood that we're in. We've had loads of questions on yesterday's game. So thanks a lot for sending them in. As always, it's at AbbeyStandPod on X, if you want to get that in. Let's start by going through... I was saying just before we started recording, it's proper cliched, but it's proper game of two halves, this one. I think first half, there's quite a lot of positives to take. Probably went 1-0 up, probably should have made it 2. And then the second was pretty dross and appalling. There's only one team that probably deserved to come out of 3 points, and I don't think that was us. Let's start with something a bit more general. Tom, Joe said that result, despite increasing the gap to the trapdoor by a point, feels like a big blow to our survival hopes. Performance levels are just not good enough over the 90. We look so flat for long spells of games. I seriously question whether these playing are up for the fight. Do you agree with that as a summary of yesterday's game? He's got his head in his hands already.
I couldn't have said it better myself, to be honest. Literally just as like word after word after word just kind of like broke me down just a little bit more, to be honest. You know what? It was a weird one to kind of pick it apart and analyse and sort of debrief on, I guess. Because this is exactly the conversation we were having after the game. We're like, well, technically we're in a better position because we're a point further away with a game less to be caught. But it just feels a lot worse, doesn't it? And the bookies sort of semi-agree. I think we're 4-1 for the drop pre-match and that shortened ever so slightly to, I think, just a shade above 3-1. So, you know, I think our sentiment is somewhat backed up by reality, I guess. It was just a really weird game. I wish the halves had been the other way around. It's just such basic analysis of it, but yeah, it just felt so flat again, I think. And it's the same problems, it's the same issues in the team that I think are causing that. And it's pretty tiresome, really, just watching us, because it felt like such an opportunity as well, the game against Northampton. You know, I know we spoke pre-match on the preview show about how they might be a bit more up for it with what happened at London Road having happened to them, and us, I guess, but then more recently. So, you know, they came into it in a pretty bad spot. And first sort of 2025, I was like, there's only one team that actually wants to win it. You know, and I think that was the difference. It looked, the game played out, I thought, for the first part of it, like it should have done, which is basically one team a bit revitalised, playing against a team of players who sort of don't really need to win the game at all. Like, there's nothing in it for Northampton. Like, they're safe. I think yesterday takes them to 50 points. So the rest of the season is as beachy as you'd like it to be. But yeah, second half just went totally flat, didn't it? And yeah, I mean, you kind of come out of it thinking, well, if you can't win Saturday, then when, basically? And that's the most depressing thing, I think.
I think that's exactly it. There was that little run of about 5 minutes after they'd equalised when the scores in the other games just all fell our way in this like little flurry of like Oxford beating Cheltenham, Posh beating Burton, Reading losing at Wickham. And like in the bottom nine, only Shrewsbury won and they beat Port Vale, which definitely went our way. So it was, you know, in that respect, what a win would have done yesterday would have been absolutely huge. And there's not only just having stood there and watched the game and seen how sort of lackluster we were in the second half to be able to take advantage of that opportunity, but also then just thinking about it in the wider sense, which is like, when the hell are we next going to win a game, Swindle?
Well, you can see their fans on Twitter, the Northampton fans, are kind of like surprised that they got anything from the game yesterday and are kind of like celebrating safety, you know, in inverted commas. And I think that was really a game that was there for the taking. And I think we were talking, Tom and I, before we started recording about how difficult this season's feeling from a fan's point of view, and thinking back to this time last year, and we went through a march of losing to MK and picking up only a point against Morecambe. And it almost feels kind of worse. You know, we were in there looking up, trying to get out, and now we're kind of in there looking down, and it's seemingly contriving to get back into the relegation fight. And I really worry looking forward, because, you know, that game was so important for us. Kind of new manager, you know, you could really set a precedent for the end of the season, and how we would set up. And really, there's a massive opportunity missed. And I think it's, I've spoken this season about lack of ability, and I think we're now looking at that, really, that, you know, we look ahead to Tuesday night, a trip to Lincoln, and again, it's where are these wins coming from? Lincoln are on the up there and beaten in the last five as well, and, you know, trying to get to the playoffs. So everyone's got something to play for. And, you know, if we'd beaten Northampton on Saturday, go to the Lincoln on Tuesday with our tails up, and you know, give them a game. But suddenly it just feels very kind of flat, and like we've missed an opportunity, and to not be able to put 90 minutes of football together is really worrying. And I think I'm really frustrated watching these players, because there's quite a lot of the time, like Lyle Taylor giving the ball away ahead of the goal, for example. And there's just t times when players stop, and it's really frustrating, and it's really hard to not kind of feel same old, and maybe we got lucky last time and won't do this time, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think also just the mental preparation of what we're going to have to go through. And I think
Yeah.
we chatted after the game, me and Tom, that like I think the one thing that we can be sure of is we're going to be travelling to Stoke-on-Trent for Port Vale away on the last game of the season, needing to get something from that game. I can be pretty sure of that. It might not be a lot, it might be like a mad swing, but I don't think we're going to be safe by that last game of the season. Let's just talk about the game in isolation and then come to the relegation picture again towards the end. First half, Swindle, what did you make to it? I mean, thought there was some decent enough positives from it. Really
Absolutely,
nice
yeah.
goal. Really nice
Yeah,
goal.
we came out playing really good football. I think we came out, we can be guilty of kind of like slowly going into games quite sluggishly sometimes, and then suddenly we're halfway through the first half and we're already on the back foot. But I was really pleased with how we started. I was kind of fine with how we set up. You know, I think it's you know, a fairly, you know, standard lineup. There's conversations always around Cousins, but I think, to be honest, first half we played really well. I really like the link up of Liam Bennett and Lancaster generally, as well as obviously, you know, on the goal. I think there was some really good movement there, and it goes to show how, like, how we can play football. Like, we do exploit the wings quite a lot, and I think that was just, you know, quite a simple goal, but really, really well worked. And it kind of begs the question why we can't do that more, and how does this team overcomplicate it in their own minds? You know, we seem to try, and as the games go on, we seem to try and change a system or try and make it more complicated than it needs to be. And it's frustrating, because that was such a simple goal, but it's really nice to watch. And I think perfect platform to, like, you know, build the
Go
game
on, go on. Nearly there.
on. Changing it to build the game.
But yeah, and then we just, it's just such a damp squib. It's kind of, you know, very typical of our season and how we've played recently. We're just not pushing on from there and killing that game. Because, to be honest, Northampton in that first half looked like they were playing in a friendly. They weren't particularly bothered, really, and it was so easy to pass it around them.
It's funny you say that, Swindle, because that's literally exactly what we were saying. That
That's exactly. It felt
first
like a
half.
pre-season friendly.
It was a strange watch, first half. It really was.
Yeah, it was. And like, they just didn't seem, yeah, they just didn't seem at the races. And it's just like, right, you get that goal, it's an early goal, get another one before half time, and then push on and kill the game, and then, you know, ring the changes or whatever. But we've just not got that in us. And short of Carlisle, we haven't had that in us really all season. It's just frustrating to watch and kind of soul destroying. And I can't imagine how the players must be feeling. I mean, we're talking about this like we've lost, and it really does feel like a loss, really, because of, you know, looking forward.
That's exactly it. It's strange, isn't it? You talk about that opportunity of the whole game, and it's like that all fell down to the first half for me. When like you have to appreciate that the moments, to use a popular football word at the moment, when you're so on top in games, when you have to be cutthroat and you have to be able to kill games off, and you have to look at the opposition in front of you and think, well, they're going to grow into this game, because as much as it felt like a pre-season friendly in that moment, they're not going to come out playing the same in the second half, where you've got to assume that they're not. So you've got to make the most of those moments. And Catch has that brilliant chance just on the stroke of half time to go two up, which I was right on the other end of the pitch, so I'm not going to comment too much on the chance itself. But even aside from that, it just felt like we could have put our foot down a bit more and like put a nail in the coffin of the game in the first half, go in 2-0 up and make that lead slightly harder to catch.
One thing I will say is, and I like you rightfully say that we weren't at the right end for that, is I think we could be feeling pretty regretful come the end of the season with how many kind of gilt-edged chances we've missed this season. Like Lancaster's had a few, Catch has had a couple. I remember Kaikai having like quite a bad miss early in the
But
season. And I think,
Bonds had one against
of
Cheltenham when
course,
we were
yeah.
chasing that, yeah.
So yeah, I feel like our lack of being able to be clinical in front of goal might really come back to bite us, and it could be the difference between staying up and going down. And yeah, we're just not clinical enough in games at all when we've got a lead. And you know, creating chances is great, but sometimes you kind of need to, you can only get so much positivity out of that. And I think we're just nowhere near clinical enough. It's a mentality thing, really.
Yeah, we'll come on to some positives later, everyone listening. But before we do that, Tom, second half, having look, I thought we were going to be a bit more positive about the first half there, but I actually think that that's a pretty good summary of it. That like there's some decent stuff, but probably given the context of the game, maybe not good enough. The second, Tom, is all too familiarly shocking, in my opinion. Two shots at an XG of 0.09, if anyone celebrates XG. Why are we so poor?
That's an open-ended question if ever there was one.
Yeah.
Yeah, the second half was pretty it was a pretty difficult watch. And it just felt like every half of football I've watched for like the last sort of five or six games, to be honest.
Especially at the Abbey, I find.
Yeah.
Especially at the Abbey.
Yeah, like the weird thing is, like, if you go back to the start of this year, we've had actually some pretty decent results in there. You think of beating Fleetwood, beating Shrewsbury, obviously we dominated Carlisle, but like even within that, like there's littered in there like so many examples of games where just like the performances have just been so off it. Like I think of Burton, I think of Cheltenham, sorry, and then obviously the last few games are the last few games, and it's just like think it comes from the same. I think I do think it all kind of boils down to the same issue, which is just that central midfield position. And it's not even like necessarily like a dig at anyone in particular, because like Casper mentioned on a pod a couple of weeks back, like we have tried different things in there, different personnel, different shapes, but like it's just so slow. Like I can't really sum it up any better than that. I think it's just like it's so pedestrian. Like there's no quality, there's no creativity. I can't think of the last time that we created a goal or created a proper chance from the central midfield position. Like you look at our goal against Northampton, it comes from the right-hand side. It's work between Lancaster and Bennett, who, you know, I guess are obviously creative players. And you think even back to the game at Carlisle, where we obviously scored four goals. I don't think any of them came from, you know, the central midfield doing something like a sort of quick bit of play, find a bit of quality, you know, maybe like a kind of line-splitting ball that creates a chance. I just can't think of any real examples where that's happened. It certainly hasn't happened consistently. Like the ball seems to take so long to move when we're in possession, and like when we do have possession of the ball, like the quality is just so off it from the central midfield bit, and it does make it difficult. And look, you have to kind of credit Northampton a little bit because they're a decent side, and you know I don't think it was ever going to be the case they didn't have a spell in the game, but I don't know. I don't know if maybe not being able to kill it off in the first half was playing on their minds at all. If they felt they maybe missed a bit of an opportunity, and you know naturally when you're not winning loads of games, if you're leading, it becomes protect the you know the result at all costs. And I think that's something Monk referred to in his interview, which we were just a bit too protective of what we had and not. I mean, I don't think he used these words specifically, but I think it's fair to suggest we didn't show enough like bravery really to go out and try and win the football match. And you know you come out of it with a point, and it's not the end of the world. Like you've not lost a game, but I don't know. It just feels so. It's a bit unusual, really. It's quite hard to kind of sum up the sentiment that you have coming out of the game because of all the things we just mentioned. But yeah, I mean the second half was a difficult watch, but I just can't get past the central midfield thing, man. I just feel like we need something a little bit different in there. Whether it is just a different player playing in there, whether it is someone like Hoddle who can maybe step in and give something a little bit different, whether it's Lewis Simp when he comes back, whatever it might be. But yeah, this just ain't it at the moment.
Let's
Yeah,
you've
talk
just
around the way.
brought us on perfectly to that area of the pitch, which is where we had the majority of our questions come in about. I was going to sort of talk about game plans and like a lack of it in the second half because it's you're right, everything you just said is spot on. But there are other ways to try and score goals, right? We saw it in the first half using the wingers and fullbacks and overlapping fullbacks, so we can go much more direct to Taylor, who didn't look like he fancied winning a header all afternoon. But considering Monk's had what a week on the training ground, I can maybe get there's some benefit of the doubt that he hasn't had time to get those sort of what you might call, I don't know, patterns of play got moving forward, or how we might want to attack games later on in the stages of matches. So let's give them the benefit of the doubt for that and just talk about that central midfield area because it's something that we've spoken about plenty of times and it's something that seems to me beyond a manager question or a setup question or a tactical question and more a personnel question. Let's start with this from James. Is it time to move on from Digby in midfield? Out of possession, he does the job. However, in possession, he's woeful. For the last three seasons, we've been overrun in midfield numerous times. Is this down to personnel? And then he sort of asks as a follow-on, does it show what a good player McGrandles is? I was thinking about this, Swindle, and I was thinking when we play Digby and Cousins side by side, as we've said a million times in that double pivot, you're basically playing the same player with the similar attributes or whatever attributes they have, which being off the ball, being quite like, or supposedly quite like big physical centre mids. But what they're not is like, people who can control the ball and you know move the ball forward and try and break through the lines is everything that Tom just mentioned there, which is something that Conor McGrandles is good at. So do you just think that the balance is off there basically, that we never signed or we don't have the options of a centre mid who can play alongside a Digby or a Cousins?
Yeah, I think that's partly true. I think neither of them are anywhere near as good as McGrandles either, so I think that probably contributes to it. I think it's very kind of one-dimensional. Yeah, I don't think there's enough creativity in there. I think they can nullify each other, and I think they do invite pressure. They both tend to be like prefer to be a little bit deeper, and it doesn't help when we're chasing games. It doesn't help when we're leading games. I think we need a real rejig. I think the quality is quite low, and the quality that we have to kind of rotate. We've spoken about this a million times this year on the podcast about that middle of the park and which system works and the double pivot and who comes in and who goes out. And you know, we're low on options of people who can come in and change it. Whilst we can change the personnel, I think it's the quality of the personnel and the number of options we have that is the issue. And I think Digby and Cousins, you know, in another parallel universe, could work quite well together if we were a kind of team which had better quality around them. But we've got two aging centre backs. We've got a young, good looking right back.
Good looking.
That's the first word that came out of my mouth. You know what I mean? He looks good. But you know that we're not a team full of absolute quality stars everywhere. So like we need that centre midfield to be solid and quality to kind of join the team together. And I think that's why the point that Tom was making earlier about taking so long to get the ball forward, I think that's where that it breaks down because those midfielders don't have the quality of, you know, others in the league. They can't ping that 25-yard ball. They can't open up the defence with one pass necessarily as easily as other people in the league. And then it, you know, slows the game down and gives them time to get back. And suddenly they've got the ball and, you know, we're on the back foot. So I think, yeah, it's in answer to your question, yes, I think we are a bit low on personnel and low on quality in there. And yeah, sad news to see Conor McGrandles is out for the rest of the season after being injured.
He is. So that wouldn't have been an option in January anyway, I guess, or wouldn't have been a long-term option. But the other player that's out long-term, and I think we should s just spend a moment just sending our best wishes to George Thomas after rupturing his ACL out into next season. So there's one of our options gone. I think on this podcast, we have said a few times that we were surprised at not recruiting another centre mid in January because it felt like a problem area then. Lewis Simper injured. You've got George Thomas and Jordan Cousins are both injury prone. Jordan Cousins is unfortunately still playing for now. But anyway, look, recruitment I think is a separate thing. We did have a lot of questions on that, but I think we're going to cover that a bit more in the summer when we can sort of take stock of the season a bit more. Because at the moment, this is the position we're in. So let's talk, Tom, about some options that we've got in there because can't really continue with Digby and Cousins in this way if we're expecting to win football matches. Two different Richards have asked about some of our younger options. You mentioned them there, Simper and Hoddle. Would you like to see one of them tried out, or potentially both?
I think both would be a bit tricky.
Not at the same time. I mean, like different times.
I think it just has to be someone different. Like, I just feel like I've watched those two players put in the same performance, like time after time after time now, and it's like, it's not going to improve, is it? Like, they're not just going to get better, I don't think. You can say what you want about Digby, or obviously, we know what his limitations are. We know what he brings to the team. So I think he's a worthwhile option in there. Cousins, I just don't get at all, to be honest. I'm just not seeing it. And the frustrating thing is, like, you assume it's there because of where he's played and the amount of times he's played in leagues above. But I guess with him, you wonder, like, have like years upon years of injuries just taking a toll on him? Is he just not like the player that he once was? And I guess a simple answer to that is he wouldn't be playing for us if he was. But I think it's worth trying something with someone just a little bit different. I don't know. I think when Lewis Simper was playing it last season, I think he did well. And it was a little bit weird to see him just totally cast aside sort of after Christmas last year. Having, I think, come in and done well, like, for the games that he played. So I think that seems to be the obvious one, but I don't know exactly how close he is to being available for selection again. I know he's been on the grass, like a few of them have been, so that's good. Monk said he wouldn't have any issue with Fryan Hoddle-Ín. Well, maybe now's the time to prove that and give him a go. And then the other one that someone mentioned earlier on was maybe having Lancaster in there. I guess the problem with that is that then you sort of take Lancaster away from the bit of the pitch where he is probably most effective, which is just a little bit further forward. But I kind of feel like what you lose from Lancaster further forward is maybe worth trying because of what it brings to the middle of the pitch, which I think is the problem area. And there's options of people who can play in that sort of role, whether it's Kachunga or Kai Kai can come in, whoever it might be. So I'd be not against watching that, to be honest. At least trying it. And if it's a disaster, then you can go back to the tried and trusted Cousins and Digby double pivot, which has served us so well relentlessly over the last few weeks. So yeah. Let's give it a go. Why not? What have we got to lose?
Yeah, just something different. That was actually something that James had asked us, which I think Jono mentioned on the radio after the game about Lancaster playing centre mid. Tom, I'm going to throw you a name. You know what I'm going to say here, and this isn't. I am absolutely stealing this point from friend of the pod, Tom Sewell. This is an option that Bonner tried one game, maybe even a half of one
Oh,
game.
come on. Come on now. I'm looking
Yeah,
forward
yeah,
to this.
yeah.
Rubbing my hands together here.
Swindon, do you know what I'm going to say?
I have no idea. I can't wait.
You're gonna like it,
So.
though.
Bristol Rovers away,
We lost.
we lost.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure he only tried this for the first half. And I have got to give Tom Sewell all the credit for this. James Brophy, right? Playing centre mid
Swindle's face there.
again.
Unbelievable. Of
No,
absolutely
listen,
no
right?
benefit to anybody listening, but Swindle's face there was an absolute picture.
As is probably most people's listening to this. Now, I'm not massively advocating for it because I think there's plenty better. We're better off. It's a bit round pegged square hole, considering you've got Simper and Hoddle and even Lancaster that you'd probably try ahead of him. But having said that, if you were going to, James Brophy's a player that I've massively run out of patience with, as I think a lot of the fan base have. But one thing you can say about him that I think is definitely valid and still true that most people agree with is the one thing he's very good at is keeping hold of the ball, right? He's very good at, when he almost runs like sideways across the pitch and he manages to just retain the ball and get us moving a little bit further up the pitch. I
That's
just think that that's a quality that a
one
centre
way to
mid could
slow it
do.
down even more.
Nah, but like, I think the one thing he'd say is he moves us up the pitch. His productivity is dreadful, right? But like, his ability to potentially be able to link the centre halves to a winger, I think he could have it in him. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, we've got nothing to lose at this point. We're at this point in the season and we're having this conversation. So why not? Maybe give Will Mannion a go. But yeah, I don't know. Like, yeah, I
But do you
mean,
see what I mean? Look, do you see what I'm trying to say? That
thinking
like,
outside the box for sure, and we have to change it, and we're not blessed with options. So yeah, I would love to see one of the young lads get a run, especially
ahead of
Lewis,
him.
but
I
because
agree.
he did feature for quite a while, and we've seen that there's quality there. So yeah, get Lewis Simper in and see how that goes. It's a baptism of fire, but it's a kind of do it well and you're a hero, and it really could help his career. So yeah, it's a lot of responsibility to put on young shoulders, but can also get the best out of them, I think.
Well, it's just got to have a bit of a shake-up, right? Tom, what do you make to my brevity suggestion?
I look forward to our mentions on Monday morning in response to
By
this one.
the way, a player that I also suggested for the worst 11 who have made over 50 appearances.
don't know. It's got to be worth a go, isn't it? I mean, we're
Anyway.
not. Look, let's be very clear. We're not that far off suggesting that Swindle gets a run out.
Available.
What was it, 100
I
quid a
don't know.
week you offered yourself to Mark Bonifor?
100 a week. It's 150 for Gary
Yes,
Monk.
it's gone up
It's
now.
gone up.
Because Swindle, somehow, weirdly, Swindle's bargaining position has got better in the last few months.
Anyway,
Which.
speaking of lazy strikers, Lyle Taylor.
Oh, dear. I don't want to have this conversation.
I'd put that down as a slightly worrying performance from Lyle Taylor yesterday, Tom. David asked, does he really walk on water, as others think? Is he the saviour that the monk needs at the Abbey? Sorry.
Does
Sorry.
anyone
I did say in the intro that I'd stop, but
remember that verse in the Bible where Jesus famously walked on water, elbowed somebody? Look, I think more seriously, I think that it was a really disappointing afternoon from Lyle Taylor, and you know what we've seen, we didn't get. Or what we've come to expect of him, it was well short of, and I don't think he'll be unaware of that. I think he'll know that maybe it wasn't his day, wasn't his best afternoon's work, which I think is a fair comment. Having said that, I don't know, I'm a bit uneasy just to like sling the narrative that he just doesn't care at all, and that's you know it might not have been a sign of things to come, but I think the next two or three games will be quite telling, to be honest. I think for the moment, like. Probably more through like blind faith than anything else. I'm happy to write it off as just one of those days. You know, just an off day from Taylor, because obviously we know he's got much better in him. But if you're of the or were of the idea that maybe Harris leaving and obviously everything that's happened in between would have had an impact on Lyle Taylor and his approach to playing for us and how he plays the game. And the kind of commitment with which he plays the game. If you were of the opinion pre-match that that would have taken its toll, you won't have come out of that game convinced otherwise. You like it would only have backed up the opinion that you already had. But I kind of just echo really what I said on the previous show. I think he's pivotal to our season. He's pivotal to our survival. And you know, I think it's dangerous just to write it off as a player who's down tools because. It's early days for that, I think, but it wasn't a good performance. I thought Bon looked okay-ish when he came on, sort of playing off him a little bit, but we need more from Lyle Taylor. You know you can get it. The difficulty is like, does he become just another one of these names, another one of these players in this squad this season who you know you can get more from, but you just consistently don't get it. And that's why I'm kind of happy just to write yesterday off. Is kind of what it was, but yeah, the next two or three games are gonna be big, I think. I think, yeah, just didn't really like make any impact on the game at all, which is weird because you kind of feel like positive or negative, like in his performances so far, he's always had a bit of an impact. You've always, you know, been able to know that he's there. Like I remember, like even at Exeter, for example, like a game that you know we very very barely. Impact at the front end of the pitch at all. Like he put himself about a bit and like he was working hard and he was running and was absolutely blowing at one point. Didn't quite see any of that in the game against Northampton and who knows, but you know it remains to be seen. But
That
I'm
Exeter game as well, he was chasing so much that we were actually almost criticizing for it. Like he was chasing down lost causes in like the 60th minute, and you're going, Lyle, you don't need to be
Well, yeah,
chasing that
this is the other
down.
thing, right? Because, you know, the conversations that we were having about Lyle Taylor was like, it's brilliant, like how much he's running. It's brilliant how much teams want it, but you kind of want him doing less of that work. And we were saying that. And now he's doing it. You don't know. Well, do it again. Like, do more of that. You know, we didn't actually mean stop running. But so I do wonder if part of it is just like, obviously his performance wasn't good, but I do wonder if like part of. The way that he maybe wasn't running channels as much as he was like a tactical thing. I don't know if he's been told to do less of that. You know, you forget he's not played much football really in the last couple of years. You don't need to be overexerting yourself. Like your role in the team is to try and link things together in central position. So, you wonder if it's just been like, look, you do a little bit less running and let people around you do a little bit more, basically. That's not to say that he played well. It's not to say that, his role in the team was as useful as it has been, because evidently it wasn't. But I do wonder if we might, in games to come, just see a little bit more out of him from doing a little bit less, if that makes sense. Maybe working a
I
little
know
bit
what you mean.
smarter rather than harder. But obviously that relies a lot on people around him creating. We've just spent 40 minutes discussing how that's just
Exactly.
simply not been the case. So that's another topic, I guess. But yeah, I'm just a little conscious of kind of starting the narrative that, just like kind of coining, just throwing a phrase out like he's down in tools, not working hard or whatever. Because I think we've seen enough from him already to show there's a player in there and there's a real desire. And I think narratives are really important in football, particularly for the fan bases. You can just start to write people off, and I don't think it's deserved for him just yet. Maybe I'm hanging on with too much faith at this stage, but yeah, I think he's too good a player and he's too important to us just to, with 10 games left, just to go, no, he doesn't want it enough.
Totally
Because
agree.
there are some in there who have consistently not shown that their quality that they probably presumably have. He's not one of them yet, but let's see.
Let's see. Yeah, big week for him as well as obviously the whole squad. Steve said that something that I didn't spot, but for the Northampton free kick for the goal, Monk and Cole were screaming at him to get in front of his man. He didn't, and they scored. I'd be interested, Swindle, if when Fejerian had me come back, which. But from what I've heard and what I'm seeing on social media, isn't too far away, which would be a massive boost to us, by the way. Like to be able to choose between Taylor, Bon, and Fejerian and Hadmi, it's going to be like options that we've like barely ever had at this level. But do you think we're going to see a bit of a ruthlessness from Monk if, and I'm totally with Tom to not go down that narrative, but if, let's say that does unfortunately turn out to be true, do you think Monk will be ruthless in his selection and not necessarily pick Taylor if he's got those options?
I really hope he is. Yeah, we've not got time to be having too much faith in people if they're not producing. I think what really frustrated me yesterday with Taylor was the kind of when he gave that ball away and Northampton went on the attack, he stopped and kind of berated Liam Bennett a little bit. And he didn't make any attempts to get the ball back. He turned around and kind of walked back to the halfway line. I saw a bit of that from him yesterday. I think he's quite a an antsy player. If he doesn't get the ball too much, I think he's kind of like that player you get on a Sunday. If they don't get the ball, they go in a bit of a strop. And I think he might be a bit like that. But we can give him the benefit of the doubt. He's a goal scorer. And like you say, if on Tuesday he starts up top and bangs a couple in, then we'll all be laughing. But yeah, I hope that Monk does rotate it. If they're coming back, they're going to be instrumental. I imagine they'll come back in, from the bench to start with. But if they come in, make an impact, or even if they don't, but Lyle Taylor isn't producing, then yeah, I'm all for getting Fajiri back in, especially.
Let's actually just very quickly touch on end this part of the pod with some positives, which I said we would earlier. And I think that's definitely a big one. We're about to have Fejerian and Ahadmi back, Lewis Simper as well, Brandon Hounstrup, these sorts of big hitters.
So if you were lacking confidence in our survival chances, you'll be fine
And
now. Don't worry about that.
I'm suggesting we play Brandon Hounstrup in centre mid.
Admit,
Now we're talking. Now we're talking.
No. But look, Tom, a couple of positives. Fejerian had me coming back is a big one. Monk's only had 1 week on the training ground. You think a
On
bit
the
more
grass.
time on the grass. He might try and get some fresh ideas into the squad. I think a good point that you made yesterday, Tom, as well, is Monk being a complete outsider to this team is probably a good thing in that ruthlessness in analysing players for their merits to the squad right now. He's the last person who wants a relegation from League One on his CV. So, like, as much as anyone, he is. He's fighting our corner, so to speak. Is there anything else in terms of positives that is it a game less a game further into the season so we can get rid of the half of the squad in the summer? Is that a positive for you?
Yeah, big time. I think the positive from Saturday afternoon is exactly that. Like we're a point further away with a game less to be caught. Like you can all the sentiment we discussed and maybe things that we need to improve, we can talk about, but they are the facts. Like we are it's somehow less likely we'll be relegated now maybe than it was before the game because of that. But I know it doesn't necessarily feel that way. But like do you remember like this time last year, like I keep going back trying to think of how we actually fought and like how we were feeling. I know we all felt pretty weathered by it. But we we are in a much better position now. Like you remember, like last season, like Port Vale, for example, towards the back end of last season, like they were absolutely turgid. I remember we went there and beat them. They went on that run where they didn't win for like God knows how long. I can't remember the exact stats, but they scraped over the line. I mean, admittedly, they're now 23rd, so it's maybe not the best comparison to draw. But the point I'm making is that like sometimes when you get to this stage of the season, it's less about how it looks and how it feels, and more about just getting it done. And obviously, there's still a long way to go, and there's a lot of tough fixtures in there that we've got to play, probably more so than other teams, which is maybe cause for concern. But you know, we don't need to do loads to stay up. Like it feels like we're going to need to improve certain areas of the pitch big time. But in terms of points, like we're not talking like miracles. We're not talking about like last season we pulled out like basically promotion form in April. Like we don't need to be doing that. So that's kind of a slight positive. I can't give too much more than that, to be honest, because you know, like we discussed, it does feel like we've talked about a lot of the same themes and the same problems consistently. But I guess my kind of overrunning taken is like just get through to the summer, do whatever you need to do to crawl over the line this season, get to the summer, and then really reevaluate things, because there's a lot of things that need to be changed, and I'm sure will be changed regardless of division. But there's enough in the squad, I believe, and there's enough games that are winnable to do it. So, yeah, you asked for a positive. That's about as much
There you
as I can
go.
muster up for the moment. So, yeah, we'll see.
Speaking of winnable games, just a small matter of Lincoln City away on Tuesday night. Let's get a preview before getting into this one with the Stacey West podcast.
Right, then, news fans, we're joined by Charlie from the Stacey West pod, covering everything related to Lincoln ahead of our trip to Sinsel Bank on Tuesday evening. Charlie, thanks for joining us. Lincoln sat pretty, I think, ninth in the league, unbeaten since mid-January, coming off the back of a pretty remarkable result away at Barnsley on Saturday. I'm guessing you're pretty happy with how things are going at the moment.
That's one way to put it. Yeah, that's. I think the logical place to start with that is obviously yesterday, and I am just saying that because I want to talk about it as much as possible at the minute. It was an emphatic victory against a very strong Barnsley side we expected going into the game, and to be fair, like they were strong at times yesterday as well. It wasn't like they weren't in the game at any point. We came out the blocks really well, first kind of 15, 20 minutes. That's kind of a feature of our game at the minute, is really coming out quick. And we did, sort of first 15, 20 minutes, we got the goal, brilliant. Then for like the second half of the first half, they battered us, put us under so much pressure. But we've got a really, really strong defence, held strong, kept it at 1-0 going into half-time. And then the second half happened, like four more goals for us. They got one when we were 4-0 up, and our players seemed really, really annoyed. And then we scored again, like a minute later, to kind of restore the four goal lead. So it was an unbelievably impressive away performance, probably one of the best I've ever seen Lincoln. It really was that good. But like I say, the whole season as well, we are on an incredible run of form at the minute, as you've mentioned. Not lost since New Year's Day. Six wins in our last eight. We're not really conceding many goals either. You know, in that whole unbeaten run, which is 11 games strong now, we've only lost four matches. We've only conceded four goals. Ignore me. So, you know, really, really impressive on that front as well. What's the big thing is with our season is this was coming. We knew at the back end of 2023, when we were on a bit of a terrible run, we kind of went four losses on the bounce from kind of mid to late December till New Year's Day. And obviously there was a lot of doom and gloom and all that, but we had some horrendous injuries. Like we didn't really have an attack because they were all injured. And you know, we didn't really have enough time on the training pitch with our new head coach, Marco Scibala, who came in the middle of November. So we couldn't really have this new style of play that he wanted to go with yet. And then obviously New Year's Day happened, lost 2-0. I mean, during the game on New Year's Day, I say during the game because somebody went off injured during the match, but during the game against Blackpool on New Year's Day, we had 11 players out injured. And so many of those were attackers as well. So we were in a really, really poor spot. Lots of players started coming back in January. January transfer window. There was also a 12-day stint where we had sort of time on the training pitch without a game, and we brought in a new assistant manager to kind of go along, well, sort of players go as co-assistant manager with one of our others. And since then, 11 games unbeaten, some really, really great performances as well as results. So it was coming. Suddenly people are starting to think we might be in a bit of a playoff fight, and who knows?
Well, yeah, I mean, that was going to be my next question, to be honest. I mean, you know, six points off, I guess the fact that fourth, fifth and sixth have played a game less maybe makes it a bit more tricky, but, you know, points are obviously more important, I guess, than games at this stage of the season. How do you, I mean, what are your hopes for the rest of the season? Do you think that's a realistic chance, or do you think maybe you left it a little bit too late?
I'll be honest, I don't look at the points gap really to sixth, because, you know, people have played different amounts of games and run-ins and this are different and all that. I'm looking at how many points we need to hit sixth. Realistically, I sort of worked out a couple of weeks ago, I think we'll need 76 points to be in sixth place. I think that'll probably be the cutoff this year. Now, to get 76 points, we have 9 games left. We need to win 7 of them. That it seems a little bit ludicrous to think that we might be able to do that, because, you know, it might be a bit too far. But 7 wins out of 9, we've won 6 of our last 8. It's not that out there, actually, now that you start to think about it. But, you know, again, in terms of hopes for the rest of the season, can I hope we'll get the playoffs? Absolutely. I'll join in with a chant of we're on our way to the championship, that sort of thing. Because you do, you dream, it's what it is. But I'm not going to get hurt by it if we don't. I'm just going to enjoy the rest of this season, because we are playing some really, really nice football, and it's a joy to be a Lincoln fan at the minute.
Yeah, well, I guess if you need to win 7 out of your last 9 to get in the playoffs, I guess it all starts on Tuesday night with us coming to Sinsel Bank. Firstly, just with regards to the game itself, how would you expect to see Lincoln set up, and who are the sort of key players to look out for?
So the way we'll set up is, it's difficult because we've got a little bit of an injury crisis again at the minute, but this time it's not in attack, it's in midfield. And we really worried that was going to hurt us against Barnsley. Obviously, it didn't. So we actually went for a sort of a really attacking lineup. Now, it's kind of a 3-5-2, sometimes can shift to a 4-4-2 out of possession. So you've got kind of in goal, it'll be Lucas Jensen. I think he's a top, top class League One goalkeeper. Yeah, I think he's second in terms of clean sheets in the league. And he has been brilliant for us. Right wing back, Lars Sorensen. He's somebody that is an absolute danger. He has the energy of just the amount he can run in a game is second to none. And he's fantastic on that right flank. Really bombs forward so well, and gives us an extra man in attack every time we go forward. Three defenders will be Sean Rowan on the left-hand side of the back three. He's really good young defender, left-footed, really strong in that position, and has had a great season. Then you got, it'll be two of Alex Mitchell, Pordy O'Connor and Adam Jackson. It'll be two of those three. Genuinely, and I don't think I'm being biased when I say this, I honestly do believe that they could quite easily all be playing in the Championship next season. We've got a really, really strong defence. Like I said, you know, 4 goals conceded in our last 11 matches. Left wing back will be Rico Hackett, who's actually more of a left winger. So a real kind of attacking side on there. He's been a revelation since coming back from injury. Can really run at players. Midfield then is where it gets interesting. So Ethan Aaron is a definite starter. He's a top class midfielder. Proper good at sort of playing as a more defensive six, holding the ball up, but then also being able to move it forward. And then next to him, yesterday we played Danny Mandroyu, who's more of like a number 10 slash winger, but he played in like a deep line playmaker role, and again was absolutely outstanding in that. So it'll kind of look really attacking in that sense. And then it'll be, I mean, yesterday it was Ben House, Joe Taylor and Freddie Draper, who are all strikers playing a kind of 2 up front and 1 in behind. Jack Moylan got 2 goals yesterday coming on at halftime. He was outstanding, so he might get a start. So it'll be, like I said, 2 strikers, 1 in behind, and then it'll be the wing backs that are asked to get forward and kind of pushed against your defence, especially if you are coming to Sinsel Bank to try and play a little bit more defensively.
And I guess the big question, how do you see it going?
Well, I think it's going to be. I think it's going to be tough because yous are going to want to be trying to set the game up to play the way that you want it to be. A little bit stop starty, a little bit attritional, a little bit you guys just trying to break us down whenever we're trying to move the ball forward and maybe letting us have a lot of the ball, but more in our sort of defensive and middle thirds. But I think the quality that we've got in attack recently has been outstanding. I think if you try and do anything other than boot the ball out, our strikers are that good at pressing that you'll get caught out by it. So I think there's a little bit of a risk with that. And you know, I do think we're going to have that kind of attacking power, especially with the confidence that most of the players have at the minute to be able to get one or two goals. So I'm, you know, I don't know if you wanted a score prediction, but I stick my neck out on the line and I will be saying a 2-0 victory for Lincoln.
Well, we'll see how it goes. But in the meantime, Charlie, thanks very much for joining us and have well, all the best for the rest of the season, I guess.
Thanks, and you too.
Thanks very much for that, Tom, and obviously Charlie from the Stacey West podcast. Lincoln City. So they beat Barnsley 5-1 away on Saturday. Just glancing at the League One form table, if you look at the last 10, they're the second best form team in the league, unbeaten in 10, conceded 3 goals in that time, only behind league leaders Portsmouth, 1-6, drawn 4. Last 6 games, they are the form team in the league, only conceded 2 in that time, again, obviously unbeaten, 1-4 in that time. People had this down as like one of the winnable games, and so all of a sudden, we're playing a team that does not concede goals, and we quite literally do not score goals. Is our best hope here just like try and muck out the ugliest nil-nil of all time, Swindle?
Absolutely. This is why Saturday's game against Southampton is so important because, you know, as you referenced there, we've got one of the harder run-ins of the teams down there. And yeah, that was a perfect opportunity to get points on the board. But yeah, we're going to need to go there, stink the place out, bring them down to our level and really try and grind a result out. It'd be very typical of Cambridge United to go there and win 1-0 on
I
Tuesday,
can tell you
wouldn't
now, Swindle, it absolutely would not be typical of us this
it? It would. I'll tell you what it would be. It would be typical, like League One. You see those sort of crazy results happen a few times. We just got to be on the right end of one at some point.
We
But it
do,
feels
but
like we never are. More
we've got to put
averages.
together 90 minutes of football. That's the thing that we seem almost unable to do. You know, you even look at the Carlisle game, and we were kind of up until about 70 minutes. We were in a game there, and they were having chances, and we could have come out of that game with a 1-1 draw, I think, if we didn't get that really fortunate own goal. And whilst we were banging on the door, yeah, I think we really struggled to put 90 minutes of football together. And in this league, you can't really get away with that too much. So I think our prospects on Tuesday are looking fairly dire, given all of that information that you just gave. I do think we're going to have to go out there, play a bit ugly. I think we're a bit soft, I think, at times. I think we need to get a bit kind of tougher without getting anyone sent off, ideally. But yeah, I'm not buzzing about it, but you never know. Stranger
Yeah,
things.
but maybe you know it's one of them things where like you know the pressure's not on us at all, and that can help us out a little bit. And
Free
maybe they
hit.
don't
The
expect. Yeah, it's
free
a free
hit.
hit, Tom. It's a
Yeah,
free
big time.
hit, Tom. Let's look at some of the other games on Tuesday because I think we're at that point in the season now where we also need to be keeping an eye on all the other games. They do fall quite nicely for us if you look at our direct relegation rivals. Burton have got Pompey away. Reading have got Derby away. So you'd hope they both do the business. Vale have got Leyton Orient away. We're obviously flying in the top half, so you'd hope they can all do the business for us. Shrewsbury exit is a pretty big one. Hope they, I guess a draw there is probably our best result because I'd quite like Exeter getting involved because I don't think they score. Neither of those teams score goals, so I think they're both. Well, I'm not saying it like we're fucking total football Ajax, but they don't score a lot of goals either of them. So I think them being involved is a good thing in the longer run of the relegation battle. So yeah, big night Tuesday. Tom, how are you setting the team up? Luckily, it's not you, is it?
Yeah,
It's doing
I
it. Yeah,
was
luckily
going
it's Gary Monk's job.
that's a big responsibility. I was surprised you sprung it on me with at such short notice, to be honest. Again, I don't think it's going to look that different, despite everything that we've discussed, you know, before. I'm not sure it's to, and to be honest, I'm not even sure it's the right thing to do to just like rip it up, like seeing what we're seeing against Northampton. So yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see it unchanged for us. Maybe Kaikai might come in. He might look at that and think, can we, you know, we're obviously going to be under it a lot, you know, under or you would expect us not to see much of the ball. So when we do get it, we're going to need to break forward quite quickly. And obviously, Kaikai is a good option for that. And that's about it, to be honest. I don't expect it to look totally different other than that. I mean, it's a tough game, isn't it? You're right. You know, we during the four games where we had Barry Corr as interim, like we were like, let's just get through these four. It doesn't matter what the results are, because then we'll go and win the next four. You're like, you find a way to Lincoln, who are absolutely tearing it to pieces at the moment. And you know what? On the previous show, we said about how we felt that Northampton getting battered 5-1 was a bad omen for Saturday. So you would expect that we would think that Lincoln going and winning 5-1 is a good omen for Tuesday night. I'm assuming that's probably not the sentiment we've got now, to be honest. It's funny how these things work, isn't it? But yeah, I think I agree with kind of a lot of what Swindle said, to be honest. And it doesn't feel great, at this stage of the season, because we obviously would have loved to have seen some progression this season. In whatever metric you want to sort of look at progression for, whether it's our style of play, whether it's actual points, whatever it might be. But I think our best hope here is just to go there and make it really attritional. And yeah,
What's your
hopefully.
prediction?
Fucking hell. Oh, big fat nil-nil, I reckon.
Hey, I'll snap your hand off for that now.
I'll be delighted with a point, to be honest.
Yeah.
I'm not filled with confidence saying that, to be honest with you, but Lincoln away is normally a pretty dire affair, to be honest. And I feel like I've seen more nil-nils in that ground than any other, probably. So yeah, let's go there. Let's make it ugly. Let's get a clean sheet and build upon that platform for Saturday at Reading.
Swindle, your prediction before we go?
I've lost a bit of kind of that, that positivity that I brandish around so freely. I'm really
That's
struggling.
when you know it's bad. You know it's
Yeah,
bad when Swindle's turn.
I'm struggling with it at the moment, and I don't see us going there and getting a result, sadly. I think it'll be 3-1, maybe 3-0. Like you say, that's more about Lincoln than it is about us. They're just on such good form. It's a really bad time to play them, and they're going to be really wanting to kind of push for them playoffs. So I think, yeah, it's going to be a tough game. We need to start well, and we need to get into the game. Otherwise, we could get overrun pretty quickly. So not that optimistic. But yeah, it's only Reading on Saturday.
Yeah, I'll go 2-0 Lincoln, and as you mentioned there, I think that Reading game is gonna be huge, to be honest. Let's wrap it up.
I think my overriding prediction is that on Tuesday night, we will be disappointed with the game in some respect, but the other results will go our way and we'll go, well, it's a game close to the end of the season. So even though we were terrible, so is everybody else. So there's some cheer
Yeah.
for you.
Yeah. I think that's probably the most accurate prediction of the lot, to be honest. Okay, let's wrap it up, lads. Thanks very much for today, Tom.
Yeah.
Is it, is it, it...
I'd say it's been a pleasure, but let's be honest, that's a total lie.
Yeah. And Swindle, obviously, thank you very much, mate.
Thanks for having me again.
I will say, anyone listening to this who fancies a bit more speculation on the relegation battle, to head over to www.undertheabbeystand.com for a piece that myself and friend of the pod, Matt Goodin, put together, looking at every team in the relegation battle and the fixtures and everyone's matchups and the chances that everyone has of staying up this season, including the U's. So that's a bit of a good long read to get on there, and also you can subscribe to get it all in your inbox. As with our podcast, which are available everywhere on Spotify and Apple. And we'll see you on Thursday for the preview show.